always love the feel, the feeling you get when that new year hits. And we all, you know, I think sometimes decide of things that we want to change for the year or things we want to keep. And I know one of the things for my life is I want this year to be a year where just peace is my word. And I don't always get a word for every year, but I felt like God just birthed that in me. And what that has meant for me is to add peace to people's life, is to add peace to my kids' life. So even when I speak to them, and I told Chris yesterday, I said, I think about that word all the time. And it has so affected how I talk to the people in my house. You know, sometimes I think we get really comfortable, you know, with the people that we're with all the time and don't think about how we're talking to them. But even my responses to Jed or to Chris, to Anna, to John Henry, but thinking about the word peace comes to my mind every time, and about, am I adding peace to their life? And that's what I want to do this year. I want to add peace. And you know, God is a God of peace, and that God of peace is within me as He's within you. And I don't know how your year has started out, but the wonderful thing about the mercies of God is that today's a new day. And His mercies are new today. And you get a brand new 24 today, you get a brand new 24 tomorrow, because His mercies are new every single morning. Amen? I'm glad you're here. Let's worship God.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Made it all, and all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead.
about who he is, and I think about his character, and it's hard not to worship the thought of who he is and who he is. And I wanted to share with you some different, and the scripture says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and those who run into it are saved. And the scriptures tell us so many names of who he is, and one is El Shaddai, and it means he's almighty. Another is Adonai. It's God the Son. He is a sovereign master. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's your provider. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the God that heals. He's Jehovah Nisi. He's your banner. He's your victor. He's your protector. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's your peace. He's Jehovah Rohi. He's your shepherd who guides you and who walks with you and leads you. He's good. He's eternal. He's holy. He's righteous. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He is faithful. And you see, the more I think about who he is, and the more that who he is overwhelms me, and the more that who he is overwhelms you, then nothing that comes your way is going to overwhelm you. No circumstance, no situation, no difficult day, no hard thing is going to overwhelm you, because when who he is overwhelms you, then these other things are nothing. Amen? Amen. We glorify your name. We glorify your name. We glorify your name in all the earth. Just glorify his name. We glorify your name. We glorify your name. His name is great. We glorify your name in all the earth. And we sing the highest praises yours. The highest praise is yours. It's all yours, Lord. The highest praise is yours. The highest praise is yours in all the earth. Oh, the highest praise. The highest praise is yours.
about you, God. There is no name above your name, Lord. We worship you, Lord. You are good, Lord. You are so good, God. And we love you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord.
Oh, Father, we thank you for today, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. We thank you for everything, God. We thank you for the rain that we're having, Lord. I know some days when it's rainy, it's hard to get up and it's hard to get moving, God, but we just thank you for the rain. We thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing with us. And Lord, we're just thankful. We're just so thankful today, God. I pray that you're blessed, Buren, today as he brings this message, Lord. May it move through us and touch us and help us to be who you want us to be, God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. You know, it is all about him. It's all about him and what he's doing in our lives and working in our lives. You know, without him, it's hard to have relationships with each other, properly anyway, and to reach out to other people. Pastor will be talking about that. If our ushers will be receiving our morning's tithes and offerings, Miss Linda, are you in here? Will you come and give your spiel? We have the ladies' ministry has an event planned.
So you guys have seen the table out front, okay, for our ladies' event on Friday night, January 23rd. We are so excited about it because our very own, The Return, okay, will be here. And let me tell you, I was kind of like, you know, getting a little worried this morning when I was looking at, you know, who's signed up, who's paid, but you guys came through for me this morning. So we have 200 tickets to sell. That's 200 seats, okay? We have 18 tables. We have already gotten 15 ladies to decorate a table, a very small centerpiece, no higher than, you know, 24 inches. And so we really need 3 more ladies to step forth and just say, yeah, we'll put some records on or, you know, whatever, something returnee-ish, and you know, just to make our tables look really great. So now I want you to understand that, see this little Coke refrigerator here? Those of you who have signed up already and paid, we have some people who kind of reserve some seats but haven't paid. So those of you who have paid, okay, get to partake of one of these. We've all your names in there, and you get to be up for one of these. We have 3 of them. We'll draw this week, next week, and the week after, and that will be that. So just a little cool something for you, you know, that reminds you of the Coke age, which I guess is now, but, you know, anyway. So there you have it. Also, just wanted to let you ladies know that our meeting will be in the big conference room right after church today. So those of you who could make it, we certainly would appreciate it. We want to make sure we are firmed up with the events for the 23rd and for the year. So you don't want to draw now? You want to do it after? Okay. Oh, the ticket. I'm sorry. Thank you. It's $20 per person, okay? And that includes a wonderful 50s kind of hoppish Griffiths drive-in meal, okay, and your drink and a dessert. So and it's a 2-hour concert. Can you make sure of that, son-in-law? Ish. Yeah. Okay, by the time we do what we have to do, it'll be 2 hours. So it's just going to be a great night. If any of you attended last year's concert at the Griffin Auditorium, I know you all had a fabulous time. You know The Return are the best of the best, and I'm just proud to say that one of them is my son-in-law. So, thank you very much.
And there's a ladies' meeting today? Okay, good deal. No, if you'll take those back with you, that would be wonderful. We thought of, thank you, give her a hand for sure. We know that you get tired of hearing me talk, and so occasionally we bring different people up here so that you will listen to what is being said, so make sure that you buy those tickets. Let's pray and bless this offering. Lord, we thank you that we can come and we can worship you, that we can exalt you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for these tithes and these offerings and the psalms. Father, Lord, we ask you to use them for the furtherment of your kingdom, for people's lives to be touched, for people to come to salvation to you. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Morning. Little update. Take that off right now. Nobody knows what in the world that is about. So if you take that off the screen, right, looking up there, what's this dude going to talk about? Rocket sciences. Yeah, you know better. A couple of things. Ronnie Nyman is in Forsyth in rehab as I speak. I talked with Dale yesterday, and he's getting there, but a lot of rehabilitation needs to take place. And yesterday, we lost, and heaven gained, a very precious saint, Anita Prescott. And I just really love Anita. She's a sweet, sweet, sweet lady. And I was blessed yesterday when I saw a post by Renice, and I just, gratitude just welled up within me, and I just said, way to go, girl. You know, let your faith rise up. And scripture came to me, if we had hope in this life only, we'd be of all men most miserable. Wow. Okay. If you weren't here last Sunday, raise your hand. And no, you're not going to be gotten on to. This is my, most of you weren't here last Sunday. I kind of figured that. I know my sheep pretty well, and I knew most of you was going to raise your hand. If I can get you all here at one time, what a day we're going to have. Lord, but I know a lot of people are sick. Thank you, man. You kind of figured I needed that. A lot of people are sick, and I want to give you an update on what I shared last week real quickly, because what I really believe the Lord's spoken to me about 2015. And it's this, that it's a year of launching. And launching of ministries, launching of relationships, that, you know, a lot of things have to go into preparing a rocket ship to blast off. And when you see it blast off, you see the power, you see the thrust of it, you see the majesticness of it. I was able to see the Challenger one time in person blast off, and we were way, way from it, probably miles from it, and yet it was just just awesome to see that rocket ship blast off into space. And as being raised Pentecostal and raised charismatic, and if you know what I mean, we're very sensational people, we use a lot of terms like great, awesome, you know, those are the words. You know, nobody in charismatic or Pentecostal circles used to say, "Well, that was so-so." You know, we say, "Man, that's awesome, that's great," and I believe those are great terms to use, and we should use them. We should be enthusiastic about our life, right, Julie? And but I want to tell you what, before something can be launched, there's a lot of little things that have to be taken care of. You see, the awesome things and the great things that's going to transpire in our life is going to be because a lot of little things are in place. Because if those little things aren't in place, and Ralph and I were talking a couple of weeks ago, and this really ignited in us, and another word I want to use for next year besides launching is the word reinventing. I believe that God really spoke that word to us this past year in one of our 50-year anniversary services. And I like the word reinvent. I think we ought to reinvent ourselves, don't you? I get bored with you. I know I'm going to get bored with me sometimes. So I want to reinvent myself just so I won't get bored with myself. I want to see some different things in my life. But there's a scripture that says, despise not the beginnings of small things. See, it's so small. Bible also says that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's not the big things. Most people handle huge tragedies in their life. They really do. We can handle a big blow. We're resilient. We can get knocked down and get right back up. You know, we can handle the real difficult things. What really wears and tears on us is those little bitty things that happen over time. Just as like the little foxes spoil the vine, the little things can either make us or break us. We all can remember. I remember where I was when I heard that John Kennedy was assassinated. I was getting on a school bus in the eighth grade. I'll never forget. I see myself right now. I'm under this awning and my school bus is pulled up. And I hear a teacher talking that John F. Kennedy, our president, had been assassinated and killed. I remember that day. I remember the day I walked in. I was with T. Shaw, and we'd gone to Atlanta for him to look at a car, believe it or not. And he was, I think he was looking at a Corvette, maybe one of his first Corvettes he ever bought. And we was in this huge complex, and on the screen, there was a television. There was this Challenger launched and had gotten up in space and just exploded. And the picture that was up on the screen, what caused that explosion was that oil ring. That's a mighty small thing that caused it. It was located where the arrow is, and that night before it launched, there was a freeze that happened, an unusual freeze in Florida. And because it froze that night, it caused it to malfunction the next day. They actually was told not to launch by some people, that they needed to really look at some things because of what happened the night before. It wasn't something that huge that happened, just that little oil ring brought that rocket ship down, killed 7 people that were just volunteers that for the first time ever to go into outer space. Nobody would have thought that. Nobody would have thought just that that little oil ring was going to bring down this massive rocket ship. See, it's the way it is in life. It's not the big things. I've pastored a long time, and I've walked through difficult times with people, and I tell you, people handle, they handle adversity really well. People as a whole can handle adversity really, really well. They can wake up one morning and something that unaware, not looking for, come against them, and they get a phone call and they get really hit hard, and their faith rises up and God's grace overwhelms them. And I've seen people go through things that, gosh, I didn't think that they could possibly make it. Some of you here today, I call you my trophies of grace. You've been through some things that I didn't know that you could go through. If you thought about it, you said, if that ever happened to me, I just wouldn't be able to get through it. But you did. And because it's not the big things that devastate our lives. It's those little things, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. You know, it's like in relationships. I've seen people, they get to a place and they part ways. And you ask them what happened and they really can't tell you. They can't tell you. They just, I don't know. I know. It was little things over the years. Those little things just kept building and building and building and building. And finally, those little things mounted up so, to become a really big thing. And all of a sudden, you don't know. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is not favorite because of what's said. It's just because of the revelation of it. When the children of Israel got bored and they down in the valley and they're waiting on Moses. He's up listening to God here, talking to the one who brought them out of Israel. They're up there, and he's up there, and they get because he delayed coming down, they got antsy, and they said, well, let's make us a god. Now, I want you to hear something. They weren't making themselves another god. They were making themselves a god that would be an image of the god that brought them out. And so their image of the god that brought them out was this strong ox. And so they bring gold and silver, and they throw it in a melting pot, and they, it's all the Ten Commandments, you know how they did it. And they take it, and they begin to fashion this golden ox. Now, again, they weren't, it wasn't another god. It was just an image of the god that they thought, well, this had to be the god that brought them out. He was strong. He was powerful. And so they bring it in, and they put it all together, and they come out with this huge golden calf or ox, and they begin to worship it and party around it and celebrate. It was a celebration. It's a festive time. Moses comes down from the mountain and says, what is going on? What is happening here? And Aaron, his spokesman and his right-hand man, Moses comes up to Aaron and said, Aaron, what's the deal? Moses, I don't know. They just thought gold and silver and out, they just out come this calf. I love it when people, I ask them, how did you get, I don't know. Just, I can tell you what happened. You just kept one little thing, a little thing, and a little thing, and it happened. All of a sudden, it transpired. Amen? That has nothing to do with the message. But you needed to hear that. Now, maybe it does. We'll see. I can usually work it in when I haven't worked it in some way. I can work this in. I can work anything in. All right, here's the deal. I want to talk to you about Eagles Way Church. Now, before I do, I want to share some things with you about what I believe about church, what I believe about the body of Christ. I believe that most churches exist out of divine wisdom and plan of God. Okay, three of y'all agree with me. Okay. I believe, Spencer, that First Presbyterian Church down the street is a divine plan and purpose of God. There's a Baptist church, hadn't been built real long, right down the street from here, that, matter of fact, you may not know this, but my daddy actually helped form that church. He actually did all the plumbing in the original church on North 9th Street that's built right down the street here. He labored in that church. He was an associate pastor in that church for a couple of years. And I believe it has a divine plan and a purpose of God. I believe that some churches exist because some idiot thought he wanted a church. And so he started one. And my daddy always, some said it this way, some were called, some were sent, and some went. And not all were called. Not, some just go. Okay, well then never mind. So I also believe that there are churches that God raises up, these different churches, for different reasons and different purposes. I believe one of the purposes that God raised Eagles Way Church up for, and I talked last week about how many remember when you was, how many have ever heard of a plane or jet break a sound barrier? It's against the law now. But I remember as a little boy on Beatty Street up toward Atlanta, there was an Air Force base, and so we heard sound barriers broken all the time. I say all the time, maybe a lot. It wasn't like every day. But we would be outside playing, and boom! It would scare the daylights out of you. But after it scared the daylights out of you, you just went, whoo, it broke the sound barrier. And pictures would fall off the wall. It would literally shake the house, and pictures would fall off the wall. And it was exciting after the fact. Some churches still believe that it's against the law to break sound barriers. Okay. Some of y'all get that in a minute. A lot of churches still believe it's against the law to break sound barriers. Breaking a sound barrier is hearing something you hadn't heard in a while, or hearing something you never heard before. And when you first hear it, it shakes you. When you first hear it, it's whoa. How many has that ever happened to you here? Whoa, I don't know if wait, that Penny. Why don't you tell me how you really feel? And so what happens is, you know, I'm going to go back, and I'm setting you up, but I'm setting you up in a good way. Because the Bible says if you trust in the Lord, believe in the Lord, you'll be established. If you believe His prophets, you'll have great success. Whether you know it or not, there are still prophets today. You're looking at one. You're looking at one. It's just so you know. I've decided I'm going to reinvent myself this year, and I'm going to be a little bolder than I've been in the past and say some things that maybe I just need to say. Well, you're looking at one. And so if you believe what prophets say, you'll have success. And I believe I've heard God, and I believe that the Lord has spoken to me that this is a year of launching. And I can launch, and I can see things, and I can hear things, and experience things that I've never experienced and seen and heard before. I can allow God to, then all these years of preparation that He's done for me, allow Him to launch me into a place I need to be. And so I want to remind you, years ago we labored about what's the mission of Eagles Way Church? What's the vision of Eagles Way Church? And we haven't veered from this. And I guess, what's it been, maybe 15 years ago, Will? Something like that we actually come up with it. It's about 15 years ago. We tweaked it a little bit, but hadn't changed it. Our mission statement is what we're doing. And what we're doing is accepting everyone by showing God's unfailing truth and mercy and love. That's what we do. I just want to remind you, that's what we do. We grow tomatoes here. We don't grow corn. If you want corn, you have to go somewhere else. There's some churches that have corn. Now, it gets between your teeth and it's difficult to get out at times, but there are. Now, that's not who God... Why do we accept everybody? Because God accepts everybody. Why do we accept every single person, man, woman, boy, girl, no matter where they come from, what their social status is, what their culture, no matter anything, we accept them. I don't want more amens than that. We accept everybody. Say everybody. Everybody. All right, I love it. Now we're talking. This is what we're doing. We're not going to stop doing this. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what their background is. We're not going to stop doing this because this is what God has called us to do. And you are here because God called you to do that and to be a part of that. Say amen. Liking what I'm hearing. This is good. This is what we do. And it's not going to change. Rocket fuel, that's pretty good. I like that. That's good. This is what launches us. This is what's going to keep launching us. Amen? If we accepted you, we're going to accept anybody else. Come on. Are you going to go judge? We accepted you. You accept me? My gosh, no, we accept everybody. That's what we do. All right? All right, this is our vision. Our vision statement is this: fully devoted to Christ, irrevocably committed to one another, and passionate about reaching the lost. Passionate about reaching the lost. Fully devoted to Christ. That's all we're going to talk about this morning is how to be fully devoted to Christ. We'll get that in a moment. Irrevocably committed to one another. That's called commitment. It's called marriage. Yeah. Amen. I love that. Irrevocably committed to one another. I love that. That means no matter what you do and all that happens, I'm not going to uncommit to you. We're committed. Amen? And we're going to be passionate about reaching the lost. Now I was raised Pentecostal. I'm going to have to drink a lot of water because my antibiotics in my mouth is really, really dry. I came up Pentecostal, fully devoted to Christ. We were so committed to being committed that we almost got committed. That was funny, I don't care who you are. when you crack yourself up, that ain't good. So, sometimes we had to come to the altar every Sunday morning to make sure that we were fully committed to Christ. Anybody remember those days? If you were raised Pentecostal, you got saved about every other week. I mean, you could preach a message every Sunday and it's going to hit on something. And finally, in about every other week, you feel, I don't think I'm saved. And I mean, I used to see the same people go to the altar about once, at least once a month, and they got saved all over again. Daddy, go down, what are you here for? I need to be saved. Well, you were saved 4 weeks ago. No, I thought I was, but I need to be saved. I mean, they just, too many people walked around barely saved. You know, they just were barely in there. And you wonder, how can you barely be saved? You can't, you know, it's like being, somebody being born a human, and you walk and look in the bassinet, and you go, well, they just about won. This is good stuff if y'all follow me this morning. I tell you what, I need to be on antibiotics more often. And you look in there and say, man, it kind of looks like a human, but I don't know. It barely is one. No, it is or it ain't. That's a baby. And so it's a human being. And so when you get born again, you really are born again. And you really are saved. Fully, wholly, completely saved. He didn't... When the Spirit of God... I'm cracking myself up because I know what I'm about to say. And that's why when the Holy Spirit came in you, He didn't stick His arm in. He didn't partially come in. No, He came in. And the Bible says that when He did that, that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit took up their abode in you. You see, God one time He lived in a garden. One time He lived in a tabernacle. One time He lived in a temple, a real gorgeous temple. And one time He lived in another gorgeous temple called Jesus. And then He decided, I'll live in another glorious temple called the body of Christ, the temple of God. He says, that's where I want to take up my eternal, everlasting abode, is in people. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? That God, you know, you looked at the old tabernacle outside the tabernacle, you wouldn't have thought much of it. It was pretty rustic looking. Really wasn't beautiful at all. But when you go inside the tabernacle, it was glorious. It was just filled with color and beauty. When they built the first temple, it was a glorious temple. Matter of fact, it was so glory that Solomon prayed this long prayer to God. He prayed stuff like, what if the enemy comes into us and we're being overtaken by them? If we lift up our voice from this temple, will you hear our voice? If pestilence comes in and things start really going bad and we lift up our voice in this temple, will you come on the scene? And he just talks about so many, many different things. And finally God answers, says, my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear their prayer and I will come and I will heal their land. And And God still is the same God. But today, that temple and all the glory that it is, you know, we kind of get accustomed to this sanctuary here. But I love it when people, we have funerals or different things, and people come up and they see this old metal building. Then they walk in. And I can't tell you how many people walk in and go, whoa, wow, didn't realize how beautiful this is. This is just gorgeous. And because it's what's on the inside that matters. And it's what's on the inside of you that matters. And so I want to give you four things that I believe, simple things, to help you to realize how you can be fully devoted to Christ. Just fully devoted to Him. How many want to be fully devoted to Christ? You know, the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Matter of fact, he said, there's only two commandments. If you do these two commandments, you'll obey all of them. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself. So fulfill the law of Christ. Hang all the law on those two. See, God, aren't you glad He keeps it simple? I'm glad God keeps it simple. He doesn't want to complicate it. Number one, just be devoted to the house of the Lord. It's His house. I was in a place not too long ago, and it wasn't a place to preach. Matter of fact, I went to love on some people who don't attend a church anywhere. And he had lost his wife. And they had asked me to do the eulogy. And I called and asked, could I come to his house? I just want to sit down and talk to him about his wife. And in the conversation, he mentioned he doesn't go to church. And said, you know, Jesus didn't go either. He just, his church was the world. And I went time to preach. I didn't say anything. I just looked at him, loved him, said, you're right, he did. He took it outside. He didn't keep it inside. He took it wherever he went. Then there's scriptures like, he's 12 years of age and mom and dad had left and they was on a journey. It took them 3 days to realize Jesus wasn't with them. Y'all know what I'm thinking. Some people go 6 months and they're like, oh, where's Jesus? You need to take him with you. How many know you need to take Jesus with you? My Uncle Andrew, he loved to fish. Uncle Andrew was a Pentecostal preacher. But he loved, matter of fact, he had a place on the lake. And my poor Uncle Andrew got criticized because he was a Pentecostal preacher and he had a place on the lake. You'd go to hell, Joe. You'd just be... Ken. y'all just be doomed. And he was so ridiculed because he had his little cabin on the lake. And Uncle Andrew loved to go fishing. And Monday morning, he worked and go to the lake. He lived on the lake and go fishing about every day. Uncle Andrew got in his little boat by himself and just went up the lake fishing. Somebody asked him one day, he said, how in the world, Andrew, can you go fishing? Can you take the Holy Ghost fishing with you? And Uncle Andrew said, I wouldn't go fishing without him. They couldn't find Jesus, so they come back and they find him in the temple. Astounding the lawyers and 12 years of age. And they went, Jesus. He said, don't you know I got to be about my Father's business? Another passage says, and as his custom was, he was in the synagogue. He was in the synagogue that he walked up and he took the scroll of Isaiah and began to read, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. But I just want to read through this. This is one of my favorite psalms. It's a psalm that only talks about the house of the Lord. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body, and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar. O Lord of heaven's armies, my King and my God, what joy for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. O Lord, God of heaven's armies, hear my prayer. Listen, O God of Jacob. O God, look with favor upon the king, our shield. Show favor to the one you have anointed. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I'd rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. For the Lord is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. O Lord of heaven's armies, what joy of those who trust in you. Do I believe you need to be in church every single Sunday morning? No. At least 30 out of 52, though. Seriously, no, you don't have to be in the house every Sunday. We know that. We're not legalistic about that. But don't you know it's something that the house of God, listen, it's not so much that you need to be here. We need you to be here. It's not, you see, we all have a measure of grace and a measure of the Spirit and a measure of love. And when all that comes together, it forms a powerful, powerful bond. And it's what emanates from us. It's what comes from us that ministers. And just good things happen. Because you never know. You never know what God's going to say. You never know what's going to happen when a body of believers come together. You never, ever know. You don't know, and I don't know, how many times that I've sat there or you sat there, and without you knowing, God did a supernatural miracle inside your being and you didn't even know it. You didn't even know it. I believe that one day when we all get to heaven, that maybe there'll be a moment where God will just throw up a screen. Maybe you just have an individual moment and you'll look on that screen. You're going to see things that God did in your life and for you that you had no idea of. If we knew what He was doing for us, we could not stop from shouting praises to God continually. He's doing more for us than we see. He's doing way more for us than we have any idea of what's happened. God's healed you so many times that you don't even know it. God saved your life so many times and you don't even know it. You just don't know. You see, God's involved. God's not sitting off somewhere. He's here. He's in you. He's with you. Great. Man, I love the church. Oh, it's got its flaws. You know why it's got flaws? That's right. You in it, I'm in it. It's gonna have its flaws, but it's the best flawed thing going on. It's the most blessed, imperfect institution in the world. It's the most flawed institution in the world, but it is the most powerful flawed institution in the world. Amen. Number two. Devoted to giving. Devoted to giving. You know, I had a rough time with the board a few weeks ago, and they dude, you got to talk about giving. I don't like talk about giving. I really don't. I don't, but I'm going to. Yeah, thank you. Well, Barbara and I got born again, or recommitted our lives to God back in 1972, 73. And my dad just basically said two things. He handed me a Bible not long after that, and he said, if you do two things, love God's house and tithe, then you'll be fine all of your life. I said, wow, that's pretty simple. Love His house and tithe, and you'll be fine all of your life. Daddy just had the way of putting things real simple. I always said he had cornbread theology. He just common sense theology. And that's what my daddy was. He was common sense theology. But no flowery speeches from him. If you wanted that, you were talking to the wrong person. If you wanted the truth, he'd look you eyeball to eyeball and tell you he didn't like you. He'd look you eyeball to eyeball and tell you what he didn't like about you. Like when Ralph did his eulogy years ago, he told Ralph one time, Ralph came to church with this wild-looking coat on, and Daddy walked up to him and said, "Son, that's the ugliest coat I've ever seen in my life." He said, "I cannot believe you're wearing that coat." And Ralph said it hurt his feelings so bad because my daddy said that to him. But when Ralph was doing his eulogy, Ralph said he went home, and he said he looked in the mirror. He said, "Dadgummit, he ain't right. This is one of the ugliest coats I've ever had in my life." So, sometime. Anyway, devoted to giving. Why? Because the Bible says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. There will be enough food in my temple. And if you do, says the Lord of heaven's army, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I'll pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test." They're a church, and I'm not going to do this. I just don't feel relieved to do this, especially nowadays. I'm not going to do this. There are churches that have done this who have challenged their people for six-month tithing. And if God didn't bless them, they'd give them all their tithe back. We're not going to do that. But it's the only place in the Bible. Matter of fact, the Bible, God said this, "Don't test me." How many of you ever said that to your kid? You may not have said it, but you thought it. Don't push me. Don't test me. And God has said that over and over. Don't test me. But here he says, test me. Put me to the test. See that your crops will be abundant. I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord God of the heavens. Now, here's the deal. I boasted years ago, and I don't know if I should have boasted or not. Maybe not, but I did. We had over 95% of our congregation tithing. Unheard of. That's unheard of. 95%. We tracked it. You say, "You look and see what we give." Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jesus, when they gave, when Jesus, he was in the temple one day and he was leaning over the treasury. He was watching, seeing what people gave. Oh no. Well, he did. Finally, this little old woman comes up and drops in two mites, and he says, "She's given more than all y'all have given. Because you've given out your abundance, she's given all she's got." He watched. Anyway, what would happen? Let me tell you something about how many times has the tax been raised in the United States? You know what? God, in 6,000 or more years, has never raised tax. His government has never one time raised his taxes. He said 10% is it. It'll last forever. How many would buy into that tax program? I wouldn't, because I don't pay that much, but I got breaks. But how many would say that'd be a great program? God never changed it. He says 10%, and that's it. I'll never raise it. And he never has. What would happen? Let me tell you what. Just look around the world today and see what the economy of the kingdom of God has done. There are hospitals. There are orphanages. Every country in the world, there are things going on because of the kingdom of God, the economy of the kingdom of God, and it's done it on 10%. What would happen if everybody did that? What would happen at Eagles Way Church if everybody gave the 10%? What would happen? Amazing. I'll tell you what happened years ago. We had 95% giving. We'd have people come in and minister. We never took offerings. We'd write them a check for $2,500, $3,000 just for coming in. We didn't even take an offering in the meeting. We didn't have to. We didn't have to. Yeah, he used to pastor. That's the reason he'd say, "Yep." You can always tell those. Until when Spencer and Ralph get something, because they've both been pastors a long time. Mm-hmm. Yep. It works. Man, it grates on you at times. It sounds like, man, 10%. Ooh. That's all he asked for. It works. Number three, devoted to serving. Thank God for Will Doss, who has raised the servanthood of this church to the highest level it's ever been. Ever been. Amen. Ever been. Because people just finding a place to serve. Disciples said, two of them one day said, well, actually, Mama said, when you come into your kingdom, can my two sons sit on your right hand and your left hand? Love mamas, don't you? Love mamas. Can James and John sit one on your right hand and one on your left hand? You're talking about a request. Not just be part of it. Can they be right there with you? And the other disciples heard them, and they got indignant. The Bible says indignant. Say indignant. Ooh, that just sounds terrible. They got angry. They got mad. They got jealous. And Jesus said this, listen, dudes. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader, be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you, come your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for others. What would happen if every single day we rose up and our first attitude of the day was, who can I serve today? Who can I serve today? What can I do for somebody? Isn't it great to do something for somebody? How is it that when it's so great that we all just, you think we just do it all the time because it feels so good? Doesn't it feel good? Feels good to do something for somebody. So be a servant. Fourth, definitely not the last thing. Or am I on the third one? It's fourth. Just three again. Devoted to forgiveness. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Why is forgiveness so huge? Because God decided he would deliver his creation by forgiveness. That's how we would do it. Simply forgive. He didn't come down here and go, now if you guys will do this and do this and you do that and you do that and you do this, if I can really see that you really have repented, if you'll make up for it, if you'll go make restitution, if you'll do penance here, if you'll do this over here, no, he just said, I'll forgive you. We sometimes we want to see some groveling. Right? We know the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, but he endured the cross. Because what he did, he looked down the corridors of time and he saw every human being that would ever come to the place of acceptance of Christ. And that was his joy. The Apostle Paul took it further when he wrote in the epistles and he would tell all the churches that he was related to that they were his joy. And you read the book of Philippians, four simple chapters, but you find the word joy in it over and over and over again. When they brought the children of Israel together one time to... It's how we got the word pulpit, and how that's why we have podiums and pulpits, or most churches do. But when you see this pulpit, it says that Ezra, they built a podium, they built a pulpit, and he stood behind it, and he read the scriptures. And as he read the scriptures, the weight of it becomes so heavy on the people, the Bible says the people begin to just weep. All of Israel just was weeping as they heard the laws read and saw all their shortcomings. And Ezra stopped And he looked up to the people and he said, don't weep. Go and rejoice. Go to your homes and rejoice. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, the pain and suffering. Then he took the cup, which he called the cup of blessing. If you looked at the cross and you see him dying and suffering, you wouldn't call that a cup of blessing, would you? But he did, because he knew what would come out of his suffering was your forgiveness and my forgiveness. Receive it in Christ's name. Father, I thank you for the gift of eternal life. And we just bless the Prestige family today. We just extend our condolences, our hearts, our faith toward them. Thank you for a family that chose you. And all these years, they've worshiped you, they've given to you, they've raised their children in the house of the Lord. Because of that, there's a faith, there's a hope that resides within them. And I just pray that over the next couple of days, Lord, that we all can come with a greater realization of who you are and how grateful we are that we are not a people who have hope in this life only, but we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that we give you praise and honor and glory and thanks. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Bless you.